If you're telling me off, you can tell me off on air.
She's smiling. She's What's smiling. What's the
matter? Gina's just come through from the other office. What's up?
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Oh.
I think we're getting near Christmas kiss time.
Baby dumb, I'm not a dweeb. I'm just a sucker with no self-esteem. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep. Julia and I were just saying we both love that song.
There's no one there.
Julia's not. She's left the studio now. I've just made her up.
Are you imagining that?
I was just pointing to her like she was next to me. You know Julia. She's the woman you're flirting with on Twitter.
I'm not flirting. She's flirting with me. I'm not flirting. I just wrote a thing and then she started flirting.
It's been responded back. It's been Hi, Ian. That was brave. Brackets
Julia. Kiss, kiss.
No, well, implied no kisses. Kisses. There's no kisses.
Implied
there.
Kisses.
Right, okay.
Are there, I think.
Do you want to have a little. Do you want to write something back?
No, I want to read Joseph's.
Rude.
Joseph has said, are Nat size credit cards like those giant checks? That's a good point, actually. So if you've got that in your basket, then of course someone's going to say that. But I don't know how they then got it out of the shop.
Well, it's maybe two of them carried it. It's difficult. I think it was a double team thing.
Also, Joseph, I thought you were driving.
No, no, he's not saying he's driving. He's saying he's taking drive. Us at six somewhere is implied. He's taking us on a long journey somewhere. We're accompanying him. That's what he said.
What?
He's not driving at the moment. You're accompanying me on a long drive today.
Yes, that means he's listening to the show on a long drive.
Oh, I thought we had sorted out that it meant he's going to...
No, that was a joke. I was doing that.
Oh, I thought for real. I was ready to
no,
go.
No. I don't think he's actually saying he's going to come and get us.
Well, I could do the lift home if you're offering, Joseph.
I think he is just saying, well, I've only got a train halfway home.
Oh, good day. You've got to get your car and drive the other bit. I thought he said you were going out for drinks later.
£8 the parking, was he going to give it me that or not?
No, I haven't got any. As you know, I don't have a lot, I don't have any cash on me. Discussed this, haven't we?
I'll take credit. I'll take four now.
Right.
Four later. Ginger Johnson's arrived. Look, says it in purple.
Has arrived.
What do we do about that?
Well, we'll get her into the studio.
Because they're due on at 4:30.
4:30, yeah. But it's
now 4:27.
I think this is perfect timing to pop something on.
We've hardly spoken, though, really.
We had 15 minutes of just doing Who Let the Dogs Out.
That was good, though. Can we submit that to Sony Awards? Is that a thing?
Sadly,
anymore?
I don't think it's a thing anymore. But maybe it's changed its name to something else.
It's a shame that we're not on BBC Radio, because then we could just give ourselves awards.
Yeah. Do they do that?
Does that not baffle you?
Do they do a BBC Awards?
Awards.
BBC Radio Awards.
That are in-house.
I don't know about that.
They just give themselves awards?
Well, you know. Is it like the best BBC presenter of the year?
I don't know, but it's just like, it is a bit like...
Let's do the...
Your mum's sending you a Valentine's card, isn't it? It's like...
Who's the best... All right, here's the FUBAR. Who's the best FUBAR presenter of the year?
Me?
Yes.
Always.
What do you win? Here's a tissue.
Thank you. What else? What else can I win?
The best freestyle.
What?
You did that at the top of the show with a bit of Who Let the Dogs Out.
Yep.
You did a mashup. So best freestyle of the year.
Nominations are?
Ian Boldsworth.
Joey Page.
And Nick Helm.
Yep. The winner is?
Ian Boldsworth.
Thank you. Suck on that, Helm and Page.
He's probably asleep.
And well, then it'll be easier to get him to do it then, won't it? listening to Foodbar Radio. This is, of course, the time of the day when we have a bit of Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell with Fanfare for Phenomena. It's a new weekly segment where we just take a little bit of time out from the fun and madness. Wait, it's my song. And I've listened to Jar Wobble and Bill as well with their track Fanfare for Phenomena. There are 5 minutes and 12 seconds left of the song. Enjoy. We have Ginger Johnson coming up in the studio. Should be in right now, but we're just enjoying the pleasing sounds of Jar Wobble and Bill as well. Fanfare for Phenomena. Again, that. Maybe sit back, have a relax, take some nice deep breaths, relax from your day as we enjoy the pleasing sounds of Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell, Fanfare for Phenomena. That's not the end. That isn't the end. Please don't panic. That's not the end. There's still 3 minutes and 49 seconds left. Jar Wobble. Bill Laswell. With the soothing, melodic notes together.
Please.
Relax. Don't listen to the hysterical lady. Just listen instead to Fanfare. For Phenomena. Don't worry if you've been put off by that ruckus in the background. That's a guest arriving. That's Ginger Johnson's just arriving in the studio. However, we're all a bit busy at the moment, having a relaxing time as we listen to Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell with Fanfare for Phenomena. There's a debate going on in the studio that it's not very fanfare-y, is what Nat's just said, but I think you'll agree.
What did you just call me?
Regardless. can we not do double entendres when we're all trying to relax and listen to Fanfare
for Phenomena, God's sake.
Of course, by Jar Wobble, coming up on the show later on, and Bill Laswell, not coming up.
Again, I can't believe it.
There we go, bit of calm.
Is that it?
As we all sit back and enjoy Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell with Fanfare for Phenomena. That's what it's called.
I know, but it's the way you're saying it.
Well, do you want me to say it?
Fanfare for Phenomena. That's how you're saying it.
I'm now listening to Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell.
I've ruined my eyeliner now, so that's terrible.
Fanfare for Phenomena.
Okay.
Okay. advised by my producer to come out of this track
long,
early.
It's a long one, isn't it?
But there's only 48 seconds left.
So okay, that's, fine.
That's for 48 seconds. 43 now. As we listen to Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell with Fanfare for Phenomena. Of course, Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell with, let's have a look.
Fanfare. Come on, we've said it 50 times.
For Phenomena. We're joined now by Ginger Johnson in the studio talking about her show Escape from Planet Trash at the Pleasance Theatre until the 22nd of December.
Yes, that's right.
Oh.
How's that? Now, is it your fault?
My bad.
Hello, I am here.
Still
yes, hi. Hello.
Now, is it your fault that there's a big octopus outside?
Yes, that's exactly my fault, yes.
What's that about?
Just to frighten you, sweetheart.
It sort of
just
worked.
Specifically to frighten you into the state of mind where you wanted to listen to Fanfare.
For
whatever the second word of that
sounds. Phenomena.
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 At that particular volume. That's why we did it. Yeah.
Did you not like that?
Oh, no, I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm a big,
I used to be a trombone in a past life. Like, not a trombone player, like an actual trombone.
You were a trombone player?
Yes, yeah. I was regressed a few years ago.
I know someone that was a bugle boy that was regressed and
really?
Was a bugle boy. And he came to that conclusion because he looked in his hand when he was regressed and saw a bugle. So he came to the conclusion that he was in a marching band.
I was just put to sleep by a very nice man, and when I woke up, I had the real feeling of being in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. And I thought I must have been a trombone.
I was going to ask you, were you genuinely regressed then?
Yes, it was Derek Acora's stepsister.
I find it really interesting, regression. There's a thing. I don't believe in it at all.
No, absolutely not. It's bullshit.
Yeah, innit? Absolute fucking nonsense. Yeah. Yeah, it really is. What do you think, Nat? Have you ever been regressed?
No, I quite liked you, though. I'd like to know what I was.
Well, you wouldn't find out.
But what they would tell me, wouldn't they?
What?
No, you have to discover it for yourself.
Oh, like...
You get taken on a mystical journey through your past lives.
Oh. They hypnotise you.
I can't be hypnotised. We've learnt that, haven't we?
You might get quite distressed.
Well, it might be something great. I might have been Marilyn Monroe or something. I don't know.
You might have been Marilyn Monroe.
Well, what? Yeah. I don't know when she died, but it's possible, right?
And what year were you born?
79.
Well, that means then, if you were Marilyn Monroe, in between times, you were also a child that died. You'd have had to have been.
You didn't need to take it there, Ian. I'm sorry.
No, you'd have had to have been.
Oh, right, okay.
If you believe in reincarnation, then Marilyn Monroe died. I think it was 62,
I don't know, when she died.
Maybe,
no
something
idea.
Like that, wherever it was. But there would have been an interim period there between you being born, where you would have to have been a life that died.
But not necessarily a child. Could have been some purple sprout and broccoli.
Exactly,
or
right?
A very friendly hamster.
Exactly.
Or
a trombone.
An arsehole of a trombone. Yeah.
Okay. I was a bit disappointed when I found out that that wasn't a real octopus when I came in.
Sorry.
Because when you come into where the studio is at the moment, next to the Pleasance Theatre now has, what do you call them?
Like tentacles.
Inflatable tentacles.
Yeah, giant tentacles.
Huge ones.
Yeah.
And I was actually disappointed because I thought a giant squid might have actually been there and I could have got a day off work.
Oh.
Right.
But it turns out it was all pretend.
It's been popular. Another one of our presenters, when he came out, was running over to get photos with it. Get some photos. Looks amazing. Was very excited. But also
it was going to go away in a minute.
No. Well, he was quite stoned.
As if it was going to move onto other waters.
Well, he didn't know. He doesn't know how long it's there for, did he?
It's true. That's true.
But also, he was like, we're kind of messing with him because he was pretty stoned. And we were like, oh, it's just appeared. No, I can't see anything. He's like, what the hell? What do you mean?
Flashback to a sea life centre.
Okay.
I'd already seen the posters for Escape from Planet Trash. And I think, is it a new production?
Yeah, it's brand new.
It's brand new.
Written this year by me in the last few months.
So, immediately, here's my take on it.
Tell
knowing
me.
Nothing about it. I'm not even read your press release.
Well, this will be insightful.
No, but I'm telling you what my emotional response is to it.
Yes.
That it gave me feelings of Escape from Forbidden Planet.
Yes.
It gave me feelings of Rocky Horror.
Yes.
It gave me feelings of, you know, all those sorts of things, which is a very attractive thing to me. You know, I love stuff like that.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, that looks quite interesting. Mm-hmm. That's a thing. And then the sort of tentacles, and I was like, oh, they're going all out on this. And that's really cool.
Yeah.
So is it their Christmas show at the Pleasance, essentially?
It's our Christmas show,
but you did it last year, didn't you, with the Krampus?
Yeah, we're it's the middle show in a quilogy.
A trilogy
of queer Christmas stories.
Quilogy is the right word, then.
Well, yeah, let's take it.
Quilogy.
Sounds good, yeah, sounds right.
I invented that.
Well, I don't know if you,
I believe it was me, sweetheart, and we've got it on record.
Ginger said it, though. Ginger said it.
He didn't even know he'd said it. Gee, sorry. So go on. It's a trilogy?
Yes. So this is the middle one in the trilogy. Last year we did a show called How to Catch a Krampus.
I remember seeing the posters for that and feeling the same thing again.
Yeah.
Like Arrow Video.
I really love kind of especially 50s, 60s, 70s B-movie culture.
Okay,
is really interesting. And I think that drag is a really good way into that for audiences. And I don't know. I like the idea that we're doing it. I don't like calling them spoofs because I don't think they are spoofs. But it's definitely a pastiche of the different ideas and tropes. So last year it was really Victorian melodrama and music hall.
Yeah.
And it was a lot darker. It was quite scary, actually. And then this year it's more kind of sci-fi. More straight down the line sci-fi, but done by a pile of drag queens. So the more serious our sci-fi becomes, the more nonsensical show becomes.
There are huge parallels then to Rocky Horror, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Rocky Horror.
Yeah, same. Yeah. And,
I mean, I don't think you can be a queer person and not love Rocky Horror. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of queer people had a real realization in their life when they saw
it. But hasn't there been a kind of rebuttal of it in recent times?
Has there?
I wrote a long thing on Patreon about it recently.
Okay.
Not that long ago. And I was watching Rocky Horror one night and I thought, I bet some people are annoyed now.
I suppose some people are annoyed about absolutely anything that you go looking for.
Yeah, but you know,
if you want to get annoyed, you'll get annoyed.
Just sweet transvestite and all the changing meanings of words and all that sort of thing, and the idea of lots of things that run through that musical. I can understand people now in a heightened sense of fucking going to say the word of being woke.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't necessarily sit right.
Well, I can tell you from my experience as a queer teenager coming from a very small town out in the northeast where there was absolutely no queer visibility whatsoever.
Yeah.
The first time I saw Rocky Horror, I saw a group of characters that were bold and exciting outsiders who were self-determined and had storylines that weren't necessarily about heteronormative relationships and that were pushing the boundaries in something. And I don't know, maybe it hasn't aged well. It's definitely a cult classic. I have to rewatch and think about it.
I think it's aged exceptionally well.
Yeah, it's a great story. It's got great songs. It's camp as hell. It's totally irreverent. Mm. It's punk, you know.
And it's kind of depressing. it really is. Once you get over it, and you're like, you go, right, I'm really into this. I really like it. And you start looking deeper into it and the actual traits of the story throughout it. What happens in that show, spoiler alert, is the hedonist who is being, don't dream it, be it, being whatever they want, is ultimately completely subjugated by authority. But ultimately, his handyman turns, kills him, and says, what's the line that he says at the end where they say, society must be protected.
Mm.
And it's kind of a depressing idea.
Yeah.
That, you know, to actually be yourself, you are, you know, open to being fucking destroyed.
They're the underdogs, like the two that eventually take over. You know, he's been an arsehole at them for a very long time, so he's getting his comeuppance in some ways.
Yeah,
Frank's very much an anti-hero. You know, he's the hero of the piece because he's so fabulous and is the lead storyline. You know,
yeah.
But he's not a hero that you would look up to, I don't think. And we have to, when we think about stories, and we think about whether things are acceptable within stories, I think that's what you've got to think about. You know, not everybody in your story has to be a hero.
Yeah.
And you can't show both sides of an idea or a conversation about whether people are good or bad if you only have good characters. Like, what's the point in doing that?
Of course. But
you're just preaching to the choir then. There are commentators
now who would have you go, essentially what they're saying is, you can't have any naughty people in your thing. You can't say,
don't come to a drag show.
But that is the thing. Do you know what I mean? It's like, well, this character's disgusting. This should be banned. And it's like,
well, I think it's really,
their characters.
I think
it really
depends on the context of what you're doing and whether you're punching up or punching down. Who are the targets of the people that you're taking the piss out of in your show or whatever it is that you're making? Who are the people that you're making fun of? And if they are higher on the ladder than you and have punched down on you plenty of times, then that's absolutely fine. They are fair game.
Yeah.
You know, know? Yeah. And this is the show is a big open-hearted show. It's actually really the story is really a romance story at the heart of it.
Right.
And we like to look at all different ends of what people think. We've got these characters who are apocalypse tourists that mm-hmm. go to horrible places as the apocalypse is happening just to take photos because it makes them feel good about their lives. Nice. You know, like you can be drag can be satirical. It has to yeah. be satirical, and it has to be punk. That's where the drag energy really, really comes from. It comes from, you know, fucking everything off, you yeah. know. It comes from subverting people's ideas. That's what drag is. You're subverting mm-hmm. ideas of gender and identity just from the very off.
Yeah.
And I think if you get the chance to tell a big story, like we have this lovely chance to do that at the Pleasants, you've got a responsibility to challenge other things at the same time as well.
And you're in the show, right?
Yes, I am.
So how do you go about, so when you're creating, so you created the show also?
Yeah, and I write it and direct it and design it. No one else is going to give me that gig, Ian, so I've got to write it myself, you know, that's the way it goes.
I have a very similar thing in my own life. how much does it annoy you?
How much does it? I love it. I write the best part of the show, and I take it for myself.
So is that? So when you put together something like that, what's the combat within you between going, well, I want something that promotes me as a performer and promotes me as a creator, but also when you're serving the story as well? Because it is a difficult thing, that, isn't it? Normally it goes the other way. So normally I find whenever I've written something that I'm in, I tend to
There's a few kind of answers to that question. One, this is really a team show that we do every year. Yeah. Some of the people we've done annually, I think it, I can't remember right now if it's four or five we've done now, and some people have been in them since the very beginning.
Okay.
So we really are a company that work together.
Yeah.
And it's not me entirely that makes the whole thing up. You know, I have a fondness for just leaving blanks in the script and saying, please add a funny line here. Because part of the thing is...
I'm tired.
Well, no, everybody in the show is a performer in their own right.
Okay.
They all work in drag or cabaret or on the stage. They've all got their unique perspective. They all bring something to the team. So it's about giving people the opportunity to shine at something that they're really good at within the format of the show. And also, I make a solo show every year as well. These are kind of my two main projects that I do. So this year, I definitely tried to step back from the story a little bit because it's a big production.
Right.
And that's hard.
Well, it's falling out of the theatre.
that's hard to do when you're inside it all of the time.
Yeah, of course.
And we've had real fun with the set this year. The set is absolutely ridiculous.
Has it already opened, by the way?
Yeah, we've done 2 weeks now.
Okay, and is it rocking the place?
Yeah, we're having a fucking great time.
Is it?
Yeah.
The opening, like when I came out, and there were paparazzi outside and stuff, and some
photographers
there. Yeah.
I miss all of that.
I was inside!
I
was putting my arms on!
I heard it all going up earlier, and I came out and saw some photographers. They were like, oh, this person's coming tonight, or that person.
Oh, right,
like,
no.
Oh, right,
yeah,
okay.
Photographers, not for us, but
oh,
for
no.
someone that was on the Bake Off 4 years ago that just comes and see the show. They're in the sun tomorrow.
What is the audience there? Because like I say, so I'm not the sort of person who would necessarily be influenced by quote-unquote advertising.
No.
But certain things do pique my interest, you know, when I go, oh, I just like the design of that. I like, you know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I know what that design is. I know where that's from. I know what that's...
We get a huge range of people come. We get a lot of... It's a co-production between Sink the Pink, which is a massive queer clubbing bear moth that I've been part of for the last 5 years, but it's more than 10 years old now. I think it's 11 years old now.
Someone else from that, didn't I?
We have had someone else from Sink the Pink.
I've heard that before.
I think you've had Mahatma Candy, who's also in the show.
Yes, I think so.
I definitely didn't have on this show. I would remember if on this show I'd had
Mahatma Candy.
What was it?
Mahatma Candy.
Mahatma Candy.
Yeah, right.
I would have remembered that in the same way that I recall that drag queen that was on the RuPaul thing.
You clearly don't
Scaredy
recall.
Cat.
No. But what was the other one that wasn't on the show?
Vinegar Strokes.
No. What was the other one?
Oh, I can't remember the two that we've had.
Can we talk about me a little bit more, please?
This is the problem.
Oh,
this is why when you say to me, oh, I've got a drag queen coming and all that, I go, oh, for fuck's sake. So it's going to be all this, isn't it? it's going to be me, screech. Yes, we'll talk. Right, go on. Go on, you talk about you.
Well, you asked us what the audience was like.
I heard you ask that question.
I can't remember.
We get a lot of different people come. We get people that come from Sink the Pink. We get quite a straightforward theatre audience that come from the Pleasants. So I've really enjoyed introducing them to the joy of one scene in the, we're trapped in the sewers and we escape from the sewers by climbing through a giant butthole.
Right.
So it's nice to see kind of our classic queer yeah. clubbing audience alongside like Mavis and her husband who have come to see Christmas Carol in the previous years and are now faced with a giant puppet of a butthole on stage. That's quite fun.
Do you feel a tangible liberation in that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That room? When you see someone like that, are you like...
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
People... I don't know. I think a lot of people come to it that don't necessarily see a lot of drag the rest of the time.
Got you.
I like to think that when we first started making these Christmas shows, it was because a lot of people that came to Sink the Pink who maybe like clubbing or like being out in bars or clubs or out really late at night, they wanted to be able to share that side of their life with their family. They wanted something that could bring their mum and their mum's friends and their whoever it was along to see the show. So we wanted to make a show that was possible like that so that we could share that culture with people outside of the people that would normally come to our club nights. And it really does do that. You know, we've got we have people that come every... There's one lady in particular that I'm thinking of is definitely in her 80s, and she has the filthiest laugh in the world. And every year she sits on the front row and she cackles through the... there's nothing you can throw at her, you know? Like, just, absolutely brilliant. And that's what it's for, you know?
She might be, like, on the turn, though. She might not.
That's not me to say. She looks very glamorous.
It might just be the colours that she likes, you know?
That's fine.
That's okay.
If you've come for movement and colour, there's plenty of that.
That's
if you've come for a giant
everyone.
Butthole, there's that as well.
Is there a manifesto to this? Do you have an idea with what you're creating here? Because it sounds like you're putting together component parts of a greater thing.
Yeah.
So do you have a goal in sight in terms of what you're creating?
I think
as an empire, you know, it sounds like you're an impresario. Well, really.
Well, I'm with this show. I'm kind of one part of a co-production with two big companies, and I've worked with both of those companies for a long time.
Yeah.
But the aim with the shows, really for me, is that, you know, as a queer person, Christmas isn't always a great time. You know,
for why?
A lot of Christmas is tied up in ideas of traditional family, which a lot of queer people maybe don't have access to for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
Or Christmas can be quite a lonely time for people as well. And we wanted to make a queer story. It's really important that they're queer stories that feature queer characters excelling in their lives.
Got you know, okay.
So that you can come and enjoy that and not feel somehow one step apart from it all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And also to be really raucous and put two fingers up to the idea of Christmas, because it's a lot of old shit, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, but it's nice
presents.
To roll around in tinsel every now and again, you know?
But presents as well.
Yeah, fine.
Think about
not
it.
Not asked.
No, but listen, I don't think you've heard what I said. Presents. I know about all the girl stuff and all that, but but you also, there's presents, isn't there?
Yeah, I suppose there is. Yeah.
And that's fine, that doesn't matter.
What do you want for Christmas, Ian?
World peace, I think.
What a lovely
world
present.
Peace.
I'll see if I can organise that.
You just told me you're buying some 200 quid Lego later, so I think it's more like some bit of Lego.
Pieces of Lego.
World peace.
I'm actually in the world leaders WhatsApp group, so
okay,
I'll text them on,
please
see if
do.
We can organise some world peace just for you.
But
sweetheart.
Again, like the thing about the quilogy, whatever we said, make sure they know it's my idea.
I will.
Make sure that I get the proper credit for world peace.
Ginger said it first, and then you came up with it. So but it's a joint effort, I think.
Listen back to it, Nat. Just listen back to it.
I was here when it happened.
No, listen back to it. Listen back to it. If I've learned anything by how the world runs now, just say that that didn't happen. That's all I've got to do. I've got to just say with authority, I don't know. No, I came up with it. Listen back to it if you want. And by this, when you're checking it, I won't be there.
Right.
No one can pull me up. So I just go, that's how you get out of these questions.
Okay.
Just go, no, I didn't say that. No, I'm not selling the NHS. Bye. I genuinely mean that, though. When I saw the post on that, I was like, oh, that looks really cool.
Thanks.
I like that, you know. So it's I wish you the best of luck with it. But it sounds like you're all right.
Yeah, we're having a great time.
You know, it sounds like it's, I mean, almost unnecessary, this interview.
I'm so glad I came.
But you're only next door, so we've paid enough to walk far.
Are you selling all well in that?
Yeah, it's going well. We've got a few dates selling out, so if you want to come, get booked up as soon as you can.
It's pointless, isn't it?
We'll go to pleasance.co.uk if you want to get tickets.
I'm already selling really well. So just
selling well, but we could always
essentially walk,
come down to a matinee at 3 p.m. on a Saturday.
Yeah, if you like.
Nice.
Do that.
It's just coming here to just show off.
Yeah, that's my job.
Exactly.
You bloody asked us to come.
That's what all drag queens say. That's not what I meant. I didn't mean that. That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant.
That's what your eyes said, Ian.
It's my job to show off. It's my job to show off is what I meant. Oh, guys.
Dig yourself out of that one.
Fucking minefield every single time, innit? Ginger Johnson, thanks ever so much.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, sorry, my mistake. Hang on a sec, just going to stop that for a second because I wanted to play.
Yeah.
Please, God, no, I'm leaving now.
Lovely interview with Ginger Johnson there, and it's now time to enjoy the soothing tones of Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell with Fanfare for Phenomena. 5 minutes, 50 seconds. Jar Wobble with Fanfare for Phenomena.
Wasn't it? Was Rancid.
As far as I'm concerned, every song from now onwards.
Okay, fine.
For the rest of my life.
Let's go with that.
It's Fanfare for Phenomena.
Okay,
I'm going to ask Jar Wobble what that even means.
I think it's next door. He can prepare his answer.
Right, well, Jar, if you're listening to this next door, then just let me know what that means. We're joined now, predictably. On this penultimate show of the year, where once again Dan Schreiber and James Harkin are hawking their compilation book, pays for the kids to go through school every year, year in, year out. The book of the year, 2019, this time it's called By No Such Thing as a Fish. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
How are we?
Very good. Good.
Looking well.
Thank you.
Forgive me for 1 second, James. Dan. Do you check your voicemails?
No.
Oh, that's why then. Like,
no, who says no to that question?
He doesn't even check his WhatsApps.
Yeah, I don't check anything these days.
Left you a voicemail last week.
Did you?
Yes, I did, yes.
Oh, I look forward to getting it.
What, the only delay?
Well, there's a big backlog now that
well,
I've got to get through.
I actually saw, I didn't, because I rang you impulsively. It wasn't a sex thing.
Okay.
But I rang you impulsively, and then I saw on Twitter that you were abroad.
Right.
And I thought, maybe he's just not got it.
Yeah, we've just been in Vienna. So
right. Yeah, but that's not
well,
really
I, well,
an excuse.
Well, I was at home.
Yeah. Oh, no, we had to go for this big podcast award we got given. Yeah. Yeah, but I'm sure...
Oh, it might not have been that, though. It might have been the week before when we were in New York playing a sellout show.
We did a sellout show in New York. It could have been that. Was it that?
It could have been. I'm not sure.
When did you leave the message?
I think it was Wednesday, I think.
Wednesday.
Oh, no, actually, you were in the UK then.
I was in the UK. Oh. I had nothing on.
There's no excuse.
That was Dan Shriver and James Harkin. Now it's time for Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell with fanfare for Phenomena. So let's let all that negativity just fade away as we listen to Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell. Fanfare for Phenomena. Fine, I'll do your fucking interview.
So why did you call?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. There'd have been a quicker way of having this conversation, wouldn't there, if you'd just called me back. I called you because I contacted them record people that you told me about.
Oh, yes, Alcopop.
Didn't reply.
You're kidding.
Nope.
They probably... Well, actually, their number...
No, they don't check the voicemails, do they?
I'm their secretary, actually.
Is this... You're from the same school? You've all been... like the Bullingdon Club or something? You've all been brought up. So, no, I don't. Never replied to the working class. I emailed... I want to say Kevin, but that might have been right.
Yeah.
Okay, I emailed Kevin. Nothing. About doing the vinyl for the Parapod movie.
Oh, soundtrack. Okay. Well, I'll do an email between
just
the
group. Just say I'm real.
Us. Yeah, just say that's a real voice from a real person on that voicemail.
Do you think it maybe you don't know how to use voicemails? I'm just
wondering. No, that was an email.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I wrote an actual email with typing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, they're awesome. They'd love you. I'll definitely get them to talk to you.
Well, they're not talking to me at the moment. At the moment, I feel like I should just like avoid them because unless I have through a contact.
Yeah.
Like
so you emailed them, what, last week?
Should I get the email up?
Well, it's just I told you them about them last year.
That is genuinely true. But I didn't have a soundtrack then.
Oh, this is for the Parapod movie.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I've now got the soundtrack. So I don't want to go, would you be interested in releasing this? Yeah, sure, send some tracks over. And then me, like, panic and do it on a recorder. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? So I emailed them. It was only last week I did it.
Cool.
I'm a bit behind times, really.
Nice, okay.
I'm on track though. What's about your book?
Well,
is it just the same as last year?
Yeah, but it's not a compilation. You said it's a compilation. We write the thing.
Yeah, but it's a compilation of your writing.
No, it's a compilation.
That's every book.
We started from
it?
Scratch. Yeah.
Wow. You two have got more cunty by the year.
We were just hiding it well for the first 2 years.
You're like proper like, oh, let's be here. Oh, relate a Parapod. And then you come in with, oh, we were in New York, sold out, we got an award, and fucking, we write our fucking book, fat get. What's that all about? Just try and remember where you came from.
I don't think that record label's going to reply to you at all now.
Yeah.
Dan's going to make sure of that.
I'm not sending that fucking email anyway.
I can't do networking. I'm really rubbish at it.
No, that was good. I liked that.
What's your year been? What's happened this year with you? Because, like, it's still going.
Yeah, we're still doing the podcast every week, right? But we've done a lot of touring and writing the book, and that's pretty much it.
That's mainly it, but it was more touring this year, I think, than we've ever done.
Is that a viable thing for you to do? Well, obviously, it must be, but is that working as a business model, if you like, without being a wanker, you know?
Yeah, it kind of works sometimes, and then occasionally we lose tens of thousands of pounds.
Like America, it doesn't work because everything is visas and the travel. Like you go knowing you're going to lose money, basically.
Okay, so is it just a presence thing then? Are you just
it's checking it out to see whether it's worth then going back. I think it's that initial going there, it's all the costs of visas, but once you have that visa, that lasts a year or so.
Got you, okay.
So you kind of have to go back if you want to make the money back.
And the UK is good, you know, we're doing okay for that, and Europe as well.
So UK-wise then, so because I find it interesting with podcasts, because it is a global thing by its design.
Yeah.
But what I find interesting about it is that invariably, whatever country you originate from is the country you're biggest in.
Yeah.
But it's got nothing to do... Do you know what I mean? It's not. Yeah. It isn't released just in this country.
It's weird,
everywhere.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's so,
so why
weird.
Why is where you're from the place that you were always biggest in?
Don't know. I mean, because sometimes in
put
music,
it
it's the opposite,
year,
right?
Say that I pointed that out. And put me in brackets on the front cover. It is totally that. Yeah, music's a good thing.
Like bands, and I know I'm a buddy of Tim Wheeler's from Ash, and in Japan, they still go there to these ginormous shows. And every time they release an album, I think album sales-wise, that's where...
But that's actually biggest... the opposite of what we're saying. Like, you would think he'd be massive in
that's
Northern Ireland,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. In music, it's the one... It's the
one. What we said... No, I'm sorry, I'll deal with it. No, what we said... If you were listening, what we said was... Dan actually said very clearly, that's quite the opposite of music. And then a few minutes later, you tried to pass that observation off as your own.
I actually think it's quite similar to music, because I like bands from the north of England.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. But you're not their entire fan base, though.
No, you're right. I mean...
But you listen to a lot of J-pop.
I do.
Yeah, that's all James listens to on tour is you just hear
Japanese pop.
Is that true?
It's true at the moment. That's what I mostly listen to, yeah.
For why?
Well, I was in Japan and just heard a lot of it and just really got into it.
Even just explaining something straightforward as passive aggressive. Passive aggressive and boastful. That's the overall trend that's coming across.
I've been in Japan a lot, so yeah. I got to.
Why? Because I've been in Japan. Why? Have you never been? I've not actually, no. No,
it's great. You should go.
Yeah, I wish I could afford it.
Music's great.
We'll get that soundtrack album out then.
I wouldn't have had you down as being a J-pop fan.
I really like pop music. Really, I used to be massively into Steps. I used to know all the dances and stuff. And
you listen mainly to number ones, don't you? Or like you like to. You like to keep on top of...
I listen to every number one. Yeah. I have a soundtrack of all the number ones in history.
For what reason?
Well, kind of half because I like to... I'm kind of into quizzing, so I want to know everything also because I think if it's really popular, it must be quite good. Right.
Well, it's got to have something to it, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing's popular that doesn't have something to it.
And I think people can be really snobbish about pop music, but I think a really good pop song is can be really good.
Yeah.
You know, can be really technically good.
But you did mention Steps.
Yeah.
Well, no, don't knock Steps.
I was really into Steps when I was at uni. Like, I had a little sister who was like 5 or 6 years old at the time, and so she was into them, and so I just got into them as well.
Do you want a beach ball signed by Steps?
Genuinely.
We've got one next door.
What? I mean...
It's been here for years.
Do you actually?
No,
yeah,
no
we
lie.
Do. We do.
There was a beach ball next door signed by Steps.
And what is the one that H...
And nobody knows where it came from.
I don't know why it's been here for years.
We've got no clue.
That is...
What's there?
I mean, yes, I genuinely do, but I don't want to take it off you.
Can you get the beach ball? Take it off was like we're going, well, thanks for coming in. We don't really want to part with it.
I don't think I've ever seen James so excited. He's shaking.
I'm genuinely happy.
I think he's
going to
cry.
Do you know that I've met 4 out of 5 Steps?
Have you? Which one have you missed, Lee?
H.
Oh, H.
No,
really?
H, really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, have you tried to meet H?
He's in jail now, isn't he, of course?
No. Jesus.
Have I got the wrong person?
You've
got
the wrong one, yeah. It's the wrong guy. It's not him. He had to tweet about it.
I did that on Twitter for years.
Yeah, no. he had to do that too, didn't he, just to clear it all up too.
No, I met them when they reformed. I was doing a womp on some show that they were on, and I met them. Oh. They had 3 of them on, and I met another one independently.
Are they really, really nice? Sorry,
they were lovely, yeah.
Were they?
Yeah, I think you'd have to be, wouldn't you?
I think so. Last time we were on this, or the time before, you were going to have someone from S Club 7 on the show.
We did, Hannah Spirit.
Yeah,
she did come on, didn't she?
Did she? Because she was suddenly very pregnant.
She was.
Yeah.
She had that for... Well, you did the synopsis, the film about a ghost dog, was it?
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. iDog.
iDog.
I think it was called. Was it something like that?
Something like that.
She got knocked up in the first hour, and then by the time she was due to do her interview, she was very pregnant.
She's very pregnant.
Very pregnant.
Yeah, I remember that.
Still was pregnant when you spoke to her, actually.
Was she?
Slightly less pregnant, I think.
That can happen.
She was nice.
Very nice.
Cool.
She was nice, but I think I was still giddy from her interview when I spoke to her.
Yeah.
And then
you
want to
hear that they're assholes, don't you, really?
Yeah. What, people like Steps?
I think so.
They never are. Yeah. I'd say it semi-facetiously, but you kind of can't be if you're in a populist thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you're very popular, you can't be a prick because you'll upset the wrong person at some point, I think. So it's I think generally speaking, most famous people are actually quite nice people when you meet them. I actually find the less credible they are, the nicer they are in real life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. I think I've always found the other way around, actually.
I've met people who would have been not as credible as other people.
Well, by credible...
Well, I don't want to start naming names.
No, I don't mean names, I mean professions. Like, so, like, reality people I've met have been less...
I'd say
nice than someone
comedians.
Oh,
yeah,
certainly.
Okay.
Well, got to say, high compliment to call us arseholes earlier then. Yes. I think you're very honoured.
I think you're a proper couple of dicks.
Thank you so much.
Oh. And I don't know why we can't get the other two on one year. Why it's just these two. Keep coming back. Know. It's almost like they're outside doing shadow boxing before they come in. And they go, right, I'm ready. Yeah. Like, you say we've been Japan. I'll say we've been New York. And then both mention the award.
You haven't mentioned the award that you got in Vienna. What
award did you get?
We won the Hans Oberhommer Award for Science Communication. And the trophy was a jar of alpaca poo.
What?
Yeah. He has an alpaca. He passed away, so this is a memorial thing. And
what a lovely tribute.
Yeah, so we each got a little jar of poo.
Chunked up here. How did it take me by surprise? How emotional that got me then. So he died, and then he did an award that's just a pile of shit.
Yeah,
did you get a what?
Yeah,
he was part of a big sort of science collective, wasn't he?
Yeah.
A bit like Spoken Nerd, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And when he died, they sort of set up this thing for science communication, and for some reason we won it.
Yeah.
Why did you win it?
Not really sure.
We don't know.
Was that your speech?
Yeah. they said that they like when we do science facts that we explain things well, but you know, it's not the only thing we do.
No, so. It was really cool though. We flew over and the British ambassador. What?
We don't just do science. I don't know if you had.
Is there a video of your speech? Because I fucking love that. Everyone clapping. You get up and go. Thanks. This isn't what we do. Really. We do a lot more than this, really. Go on, say one.
No, we did it. Our speech effectively was a podcast. We did an hour long podcast as our acceptance speech. It was cool. We arrived there and we got given a reception in Vienna at the British Embassy by the British ambassador, because I guess no Brits get given awards there usually, and so it was kind of seen as a big thing. So it was
weird.
It was so weird.
How soon was it before you were looking for hidden cameras?
We thought all the way through that it was going to be a big joke.
Yeah, you really would.
But it's apparently we do have the poo. So
we got the poo. We brought it back. Yeah.
Did you bring it in today?
No, nice. We don't. We don't.
We don't carry the poo. What do you think? The poo is safe. And what's it? Is it just going to be forever now?
The podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Or the brand, I guess. So because it's not just the podcast, is it? Because there's the books and things.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I guess QI will go on forever. I guess. Yeah. And fish. QI will die before us.
Well,
do you think?
QI has only got until Z, right?
Oh yeah, that's
so
true.
It's only like another 10 years or something, or 8 years.
Yeah.
Can you not just start again?
We could do.
So everyone will be dead, won't they?
That's true. Just use the same material.
One thing I worked out is if QI gets to the end of the alphabet, then we'll be the show with the most Christmas specials of any TV show ever.
Oh, cool.
We'll overtake Last of the Summer Wine.
That's really good. That's why he earns the big bucks, eh?
Only a quizzer would preempt the question and go, hang on, that's me. I know, I'll remember that if it ever comes up. I'm interested in that, though, because I know you do all the stuff and that, and, you know, you are sort of, you're busy people. You always come across as busy people anyway, which is part of the battle, isn't it, to make it look like you're busy.
You are
busy people, so you are constantly working, and I just wonder genuinely where you see this actually, because it can kind of only get bigger, I think.
Well, that's kind of why we went to America, right? Because we wanted to. It's like a really big market of lots of people who speak English, and so
for explaining America to me.
Some people speak Spanish there,
Mexican, but they are diminishing.
but that's like a place where we can get lots more listeners. Because the UK, I don't know if we can get many more here.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you're doing a movie. You kind of look, you go, what's the next thing that we can do that makes it feel like it's fresh and keep going? Because otherwise, I mean, we could in theory at this point just do the podcast in the office and keep it at that. And probably the numbers as we have them at the moment are good enough that we could sustain a while of just doing that. But it's boring for us because you're sitting on something that allows you to have fun. Like, you know, if you hear someone might want a book, you think, well, great, when do you ever get that kind of opportunity? Let's turn the podcast, but we as I said, it's not a compilation. We use no material from the podcast. We write an entire fresh book. Do you remember when I said that earlier, when you got that wrong? Yeah. We
it's a compilation of words. All books are, mate. Calm your tits.
Oh. I've never heard you say that before.
There's an election coming up. What are you fucking upset about this for? All the things.
No,
go on.
No, it's just like that's the fun of it, isn't it? Doing a movie, trying to do something different with it. And the big thing next year, I think, is we hopefully are going to go back to America because it's there's territories where people are definitely not listening to us, where we could hope to try and make them listen to us, and that's the plan.
I think when you make something. Not when you make something. When something sounds fun to people who are listening to it remotely, who aren't actually in the room with you, I think people can sometimes not understand that some days it isn't. And people can sometimes not understand that sometimes it becomes a formula and it becomes, quite restrictive in terms of what you're doing. So I do think either that way lies bitterness or, as you say, you expand beyond that and you do things that stop the original concept being boring.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point because we just did.
Thank you. Finally,
after 3 years of coming back,
that's all I wanted. Clip that.
We just did a mini UK tour where we did bits for the audiobook. We did the same show for 4 nights, and then we took the best of all the ones and then put it into the audiobook as live bit. But because it was the same show for 4 nights, I mean, we made different jokes, but it did kind of get a little bit. We didn't have as much fun with it.
Yeah,
it was
boring. Yeah,
imagine being an actor.
I know.
Yeah. But at least those are well written. These are just us repeating our shitty sentences over and over.
Or your compilation bits.
But it's cool. Tiny things on this last UK tour, we do the podcast, but you have to do a first half. So we always put something new together.
Yeah.
James this year did a thing where he sang with a guitar.
Did you?
Yeah. He wrote a proper song based on
proper song.
It was Baby Shark. It was Baby Shark adapted to sort of adult themes. Nice. And
when you said adult themes, it wasn't sex. No
sex.
What are adult themes then?
Oh, just talking about Putin and yeah, exactly. Elections. Yeah. But that was really cool because we ended up our biggest gig that we've ever done. We managed to play the Hammersmith Apollo. It was amazing. We got James suddenly doing a guitar song.
How many were in there though?
Oh, just they had to add extra seats. It's one of those odd situations where it was too full. This doesn't happen much, but.
It's time for fanfare. For Phenomena. Go on, carry on.
No, but just that's tiny, tiny little ways where individually as well, things can be kept fresh for ourselves. James is now someone who feels like he's done a... that's a massive thing. You played a song at the Hammersmith Apollo.
Yeah, I mean, it was Baby Shark, but yeah.
Yeah, sure. Matter though, because the sort of attitude you display, that's like a number one for you, isn't it? It's like, just... swan about telling people that you've done
it's
I've done a song at the Hammersmith Apollo. Have you? No.
It's genuinely one of my favourite actual songs, Baby Shark, as well.
It's a good.
Of course it would be, yeah. So so in that moment though, so even though it's a joke, but in that moment, that must be quite a cool thing to do.
Kind of, but I'm mostly shitting myself.
Were you terrified? Yeah, were
you
terrified?
Because one time, my guitar didn't work and we were...
What do you mean it didn't work?
As in the...
Sorry. Just hitting the strings and nothing was happening.
It wasn't working. I was just banging it against the floor and it was just making these weird noises.
James, I've heard some excuses, but my guitar didn't work.
So the amps weren't working, let's say.
Okay, sorry.
And
so
it just sounded like I was really earnestly singing
right,
Baby
nice.
Shark
That's even
a cappella,
nicer.
you know. And then there was another time when one of the strings snapped and stuff. So basically just hoping nothing goes wrong.
Well, and also, James is so new to playing live. The song obviously has a beat where you can come in with claps. Every time the audience clapped, that was
it really put
worst
me off.
Case Did scenario. Yeah.
I really hated it.
Yeah.
I was like, be quiet. I'm trying to do a bloody song. And they were just laughing and clapping.
Yeah, the crowd's like, yeah, we're with you, James. Like,
shut up. I've got monitors.
Yeah. Well, look, you've broken the guitar with your clapping.
Couldn't afford earpieces. Let's go to New York.
I always have the same sort of conclusion with you lot, which is that I'm always really begrudgingly impressed. No, you know what I mean? I think I say this every year, though. That it is like, because I'm more based on rivalry, me. You know, in my head, do you know what I mean? I'm like, no, I'm better than them. No, if you're working the same thing, it's like, no, they couldn't touch the fucking PowerPoint what they do. And that sort of feeling. So it's always slightly uncomfortable for me to go, okay, well done. That's yeah, that is actually, that is the sort of thing that I preach myself, you know, about sort of expanding on it and keeping it going and keeping it fresh and all that. And I guess I get a bit envious, and then you come in and just prod that every year.
We're just trying to keep you on your toes, that's all.
I think you're going to make me quit.
No, you've got your movie coming out. We're excited to see the movie. Yeah. It's sold out, though, at Prince Charles, so we can't get tickets.
Well, so Billy Big Bollocks here can't get tickets to a shitty independent film at the Prince Charles?
Well, I can probably... I mean, I can.
How?
Well, you'll probably just speak to Prince Charles himself.
Prince Charles.
Are you using that royal box on there?
Andrew seat's free, right? Can I just shove in there?
Well, here's the thing. What I can tell you is I think there's one ticket left.
Is there?
It's not. It's sold out on the site.
Our tickets.
Oh, right. Okay.
So held back to, so industry tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one left.
Can I have it?
Duke it out.
I don't know what it is.
Just pretend you want it.
Oh, Dan, I really do want that ticket.
Okay, James can have it.
That, I reckon that was less than a second. And it destroyed me. Yeah. It was, okay, James can have it. And you hadn't even finished a sentence before he went, oh, fuck. And it absolutely rips my heart out of that then. That's horrible, isn't it?
What's as good as it gets your ego down a little bit. Once a year, they pop in.
My ego's not out of control. I'm on fucking football.
It's not now, is it?
I was swan out of here after I'd done the show going, guess what I was just doing in there? Check me out, everyone. if it's still there, you can have it.
Can I? I'd love to come.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I can't guarantee you that.
No, of course. Well, I'll tell you what, if I can have it, just leave me a voicemail and I'll not see you there.
I've got your email address, haven't I? Oh, have I? I might not have.
I don't know.
Send me your email address.
Where?
My number's on the voicemail. Send me your email address and I'll send it on to the promo company.
Okay, cool.
And if that ticket's still left, you can have it.
Yeah, amazing.
Okay.
Very good. Is it,
and that's me on the record now saying there are none left.
Oh, wow. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Definitely not. I told you I'd bring it back to me, didn't I?
Yeah, always do. No, I'm used to it.
Dangled the carrot of a ticket.
Yeah.
No problem at all. Well, look, I've got to... I don't know if you ever heard of Jar Wobble.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We've just been talking to him.
How was he?
He was awesome.
Really nice guy.
Was he cross? I'm not taking the piss when I'm doing that thing, by the way. I think that track's genuinely beautiful that I keep playing.
Yeah.
But I think it's funny to do it like Classic FM over it.
We don't listen to you next door. We talk to each other in that room. So I imagine he's not even listening right now.
Wow.
Is that what you thought happened?
Wow. Well, your show's called Escape from Planet Trash. It's on at the Peasants until 22nd of December. I like all the things you've done with the octopuses outside. That's all we're interested in.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I've got to go and promote the book of the year, 2019, in a bit.
It's out. It's already out.
24th of October. Does that get shorter every year? It wasn't that early last year, was it?
No, it has changed from last year.
Actually, it was earlier last year. And then it's returned to the... I think we were on the 18th last year, and then this year, back to the usual.
That's nice. Daily Mail says it's packed with killer facts.
They're right.
On the press release.
Balance that up. Difficult one, that, isn't it?
It is.
The Daily Mail said it, so you've got to shout about it, but...
I know.
Daily Mail, wasn't it?
We were in the Daily Mail on Saturday. Huge double-faced spread. Couldn't tell anyone.
Were you? Yeah. And how was that?
I mean, it's great when you see it. It's a double-page spread, but obviously...
I had a good review in the Daily Mail once.
They sell all their papers.
They do, and the best review we ever got was the Mail on Sunday. It was the first book, and it was written by one of my heroes, Craig Brown, who's a... He, if you've ever read Private Eye, he does this diary parody thing, which is absolutely brilliant, and he's just a great satirist. And he gave us a 5-star review. It was amazing, and couldn't tell anyone. Yeah.
Wow.
Just because of where it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I agree with that. I agree that, you know, I don't like seeing people tweet about Daily Mail reviews or anything.
It's hard, isn't it?
It's tough, yeah.
You weigh
up tough.
Your own sort of feelings against that.
Yeah.
When on your Twitter, I think that we both really like going to each other's houses.
Yeah, do you think?
Yeah, I do.
Cool.